This morning, we're going to open God's word. Before we do, perhaps let's just one more time take a moment to pray, and we'll dive right in. For those who want to follow along in the word this morning, we're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 1 together a little bit, and highlight a few things and perhaps build a little bit both off some of the things that Sass mentioned in her testimony this morning, and also that idea of preparation that that Mary Charlotte has shared. So let's just pray and give our time to the Lord and lift up the Lord, and we'll dive right in. Lord, thank you that this morning again we can gather together, and that this is a time of sharing together, that that today you are the Lord, you are in control, and that you are over all. And while you are Lord and over all, sometimes I don't allow that to be seated in the reality of my mind today. When I allow circumstances to seem greater than you, when I allow other people or other things to seem greater than you. But today, as we spend this moment in your word, I just pray that we'd come to that place where, if anything, we might come away with that realization, that understanding, and that true heart knowledge that today you are the Lord of all. Not just prominent in our lives, but preeminent, the one who deserves to be put at the foremost place. And I pray that this morning we would allow all distractions to be set aside, that we would allow ourselves to be moved and motivated by you, that your word would go deep within our hearts, and that as your word comes in, that we would allow, again, it to go deep and have its effect within us that you desire. That we would be allow things to be revealed, that we would allow our hearts to be changed, that we would be moved, that we would be motivated, that we would be made into your likeness, Lord. And so thank you that this morning we are joining you as you proclaim your life, your love, and your work to us. And I just pray again that only your words would stick to our hearts. And so thank you for this opportunity in this Christmas season to know you, to come before you and to bow our hearts low before you and ask you to speak to us and you alone. So thank you for all of this. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as we begin our time together, I mentioned we want to be spending a little bit of time in Matthew and chapter 1. But before I read there, I want to add a few things, and that is this. As Mary Charlotte opened today, Advent is a time in which we know means Advent, an arrival or a coming. And it is a celebration as we look back at the coming of our Lord. But as we look this year, we're not only celebrating the coming of our Lord who came, Jesus, in the flesh. And it tells us in John chapter 1 that the Word took on flesh and tabernacled or dwelt among us. And we're not only celebrating that there was a coming or an arrival, but today we look forward that there is a second coming, that this one who came is coming again. And just as those people then were waiting on the Messiah, the promised one of God who was going to make the world right and recover what had gone so wrong in the garden with Adam and Eve, so too today we are longing and looking forward to the Lord's return, a coming, a promise that he will return for his bride, and that today, as we look and long for those things, he is going to make right what we see as a wrong today. What I'd like to highlight this morning as we're going to be reading together is the fact that today, as we prepare our hearts for the return of the Lord, for the coming or the arrival of Jesus, just as they were preparing their hearts, looking, longing, waiting for what God was going to do, this morning, I want to highlight this, that in the midst of our preparation, there is great anticipation and a need for patience. Because I don't always see, while I anticipate what God's going to do, I'm not always patient for what I long for what God is going to do. And sometimes I don't always understand why or how God is going about doing what he's going to do. But I've learned this, that God will do what he's going to do in his good time. And that God is always after good, and his good is his glory. And so today, as we're going to read, I'm going to highlight, and as we go through this Advent, we'll have opportunity to share, look, and read a little bit more. But as Mary Charlotte read, a voice of one calling, as John said, quoting Isaiah, in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. And that's our hope, is that today we're going to spend some time looking at what it means to have prepared hearts for God's work, for God's return, and for what God is going to do today. I'm going to read for you in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18. And Matthew is looking at Joseph's perspective of what was going on as things were unfolding. And it says this in Matthew chapter 1. And verse 18. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, so they were engaged, it says, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who's been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now, all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. I want to stop there this morning, because I think what's important to hear is this. Matthew 1, verse 22, all of this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord. Now, God had spoken this word through the prophets, but all these things would take place to fulfill it. And what's different today is that today we are looking, we are reading, and we are highlighting things in a story today that, as we look back, seem perhaps easy to see what God was doing. He was preparing a virgin for a birth of his own son by way of the Holy Spirit to bring about the Messiah that everyone was waiting for. And yet in this moment, I want you to notice that Joseph didn't necessarily see it that way in the moment. In the moment, however godly a man he was, it tells us, he was preparing to put her away secretly. That is, to divorce her quietly so as not to shame her. But nonetheless, he was walking through this, finding out the wife you're engaged to is pregnant before the wedding. If there's ever a time to say, God, what are you doing? This would be one. In fact, it's interesting to find throughout history, at times when it seems that things were most hopeless, hope had never been closer than it was at that moment. Right? Think back to a time in which Israel was suffering under Pharaoh, as we studied the book of Exodus. And Pharaoh had gotten to the point where he was now casting out and killing babies. I mean, had it ever gotten more hopeless than now? And the truth is, hope was right around the corner. In fact, one of those babies who would survive that terrible demise was the one God was raising to lead them out into a new place, into a new life under God. When things seemed most hopeless, hope had actually never been closer than that moment. when circumstances seemed the most dire, at their worst, those very circumstances were leading to something so much greater that could not have been asked or imagined. And in that moment, Joseph needed to open his eyes and hear the word of the Lord and realize that in the midst of what was happening, God was preparing good to come. And today, as we open the word and talk about the preparation of our hearts for the way of the Lord, and the scriptures are filled with verses that remind us. In Matthew 24 and verse 42, it says, "Therefore, be on the alert, for you do not know which day the Lord is coming. But be sure of this, that the head of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming. He would have been on the alert and would not have allowed his house to be broken into. For this reason, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not think he will." And he's not just coming at any hour. He's coming at the hour you don't think he will. And in fact, today, God is preparing to show up in circumstances you don't even think he's in. And you can go on in Matthew in chapter 25, and it gives the example, which we won't read for time's sake this morning, of those 10 virgins, and only five were keeping their lamps ready, waiting for the coming of the bridegroom, while the others let their lamps run out. And he speaks of this being prepared, being ready, and goes on to say, "Truly, I say to you, listen, be on the alert, for you do not know the day nor hour." And I think today, if the Lord has been reminding me of something, it's this, that today, as we think about the work of the Lord, the coming of the Lord, there is great anticipation of first what the Lord is going to do, a Savior, God with us. But secondly, that anticipation must be seated with patience. Anticipation that the Lord is, yes, going to show up. Perhaps at a time when I think least likely. Secondly, an anticipation seated with patience. It says this in Galatians 4. He says, as Paul writes to the Galatian church in verse 3, "Also, while we were children, we were held in bondage under the elemental things of the world. But when the fullness of the time came, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law." And those words in Galatians 4 and verse 4, it says, when the fullness of the time came, God was waiting for the perfect and appropriate time. But I want to tell you this week, I've been just navigating the fact that so often God is preparing and working and moving, and yet there are times in my life where I refuse to see it or acknowledge it. And sometimes that comes because there's no patience. God doesn't work on my time scale or my timeline. He works on his. And he doesn't always work in the way I think he should. He works in the way in which he knows his glory will be most glorified to this watching world. And that doesn't always make sense in the moment. I want to share with you something that was encouraging that happened. And I think in some ways, as I've told you, as I work with you from afar, and my heart is with you on Gabriola, and I wish I could be on Gabriola more than I am, and yet in some ways, I've told you before, you guys are supporting a tent-making farming ministry that preaches Christ to hippie farmers on Vancouver Island, and just before this latest kind of more stricter lockdown, I was at a little community Bible study put on by some friends, and the majority of which I didn't know. and there was some discussion brought up, and it was interesting because I recognized one of the people at the meeting that I didn't know, but they happened to be when I was visiting Marianne and Carmen and Jack in palliative care. I remember seeing a nurse walk by, and while I didn't interact with her, I just took note, oh, okay, like it's these faces. And here at this Bible study is this nurse from palliative care that I saw when I was there praying with them and Jack before he went to be with the Lord. And she brought up a point and was just talking about, and here you can imagine a woman whose days are filled with suffering and watching people go through suffering. And as we were talking, you know, she was sharing the struggles of watching a mother who was involved in a car accident and leaving two young children abandoned without a mother. And the point arose, where's God in this, right? And it's a great point. And you know, it was interesting as we began to talk and discuss and open God's word, we began to talk about how it's interesting that when God works, do you know what I do? I default to God has it out for me. I default, like if there was a Y in the road and one was go join Lorraine to suffer for the Lord under palm trees in Mexico and have a ministry down there, you know, and the other was go and suck septic with a poop truck on Vancouver Island. If there was a Y in the road, my automatic assumption is what? God wants me to suck septic. That's it. Like 100%, he's leading me down the dirtiest road there can be. And yet, the interesting thing is this, in my limited knowledge, I always default to what I think God should have done. What God did was unjust, that God left us, that God didn't do what he should have done. Because what I see in my limited knowledge is the two children, right? I see the abandonment. I see the emotional turmoil of a family left without a mother. But you know what I don't see? Well, I default to God's always done worse for me or wants the worst. Here's what I don't see. God's incredible, infinite grace. Why do I assume God's abandoned us at a moment in which God knew such a fuller picture than I did? What if God was saving this woman from an incredible suffering down a road that I can't imagine? And by God's grace, he took her home. Why do I assume that those kids were abandoned when maybe God did something, intervened in something, and has a better hope waiting for them around a corner? It's not to say that those circumstances aren't awful and that there's not hardship and hurt that's taking place. It's not to belittle the circumstance nor the emotions whatsoever. But here's what I do, default to, God, you've abandoned me. Where are you? What have you done? Injustice, as I shake my fist. But I fail to realize and appropriate the fact of how much more God knows, the grace that God gives in his mercy, and the bigger picture to which we know God is working. Put yourself in Joseph's shoes, a righteous man who now discovers that his wife is pregnant before the marriage. God didn't intervene and tell him before he found out, oh, by the way, something's going to happen to you. I wish he would sometimes. Hey, this is going to happen. It might seem a little awkward, right? Wouldn't that have been nice? Joseph, come over here. We need to have a chat. I'm going to lead you through a few awkward scenarios here. It's going to be a little rough, but I'm in it. No, he found out he's preparing for setting her aside quietly. Then the angel comes. Joseph, I'm here. I've never left you. I haven't forsaken you. And while you're questioning what's going on, here's what's truly going on. While it seems like all hope is gone, hope has never been closer. In fact, I'm using this broken circumstance, or so it seems, to bring a mending greater glory that you couldn't even imagine. In fact, generations have been waiting for this moment, and now here it is, and I'm using you to bring it about. How exciting is that? How exciting is that? All I can see in the moment is the brokenness. All I can see in the moment is the hurt. I can see the pain. I can see the loss. I can see the hardship. Here's what I fail to see. I'm anticipating God's work. But the moment circumstances seem to happen that don't line up with what I think God should do or would do, all hope seems lost. And now God, where are you? No, no. Here's where God is, right in the middle of it, by his incredible grace. John writes this further on in John chapter 16 and verse 32. Behold, an hour is coming and has already come for you to be scattered, but to each his own home, and to leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. What did Jesus know? That even in his direst hour, that all of his friends would abandon him, his most closest allies, the disciples, those he spent time with, those he brought up, that they were going to abandon him. And yet in it all, what did Jesus know? He wasn't alone, because the Father was both with him and in these circumstances for him. It goes on and says this: these things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. And I want you to cling to those words this morning. These things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. Listen, this is going to happen, but in the midst of it all, in the midst of shattered circumstances, and remember, these disciples who were with Jesus, listened to Jesus, and walked with Jesus, even when Jesus died, did not understand why or what was going on. They were still expecting him to be raised up as a political, military leader. But in the midst of it, Jesus said, I want you to know peace. Why? Because I'm in it, and in me, you will know my Father. In fact, when hope seems at its least, what have we said 10 times now? It's never been closer. I'm going to be put on a cross. And when all seems lost, you will be gaining the very life that you might truly begin to live. Today, as we look to the Lord and look at a season in which we are preparing our hearts, yes, we acknowledge and we remember a people preparing for the birth of Jesus. But now that Jesus has come and we have his Holy Spirit residing within us, we're preparing in another way. And what a great way to focus our hearts on the work of God that we still long for. That while today progress is possible as we turn away and walk away from the sins that entangle us, perfection is one day when we are with him and see him face to face. As we long for that perfect work of the Lord Jesus, the completion when we are home with him, as we, again, anticipate with excitement what God is doing and will do? Is it seated with patience? There's the question for today. Patiently waiting, knowing that in it, he's above it all, has it all firmly in the grip of his hand, and is working towards his glory. You know, I look at today and how divided our society is, and I know that as we look, and I look at my Brady Bunch checkered board of faces here, how different we all are. And, you know, for some of us, we look at politics, and for some of us, we think, hey, man, wrong man was elected, right man's out. For others of us, we're like, hey, man, right man was elected, the wrong man's finally out. Like, we come from so many different perspectives, but am I ready to see this? God is in control, right? Regardless of who's in, the Bible tells us that God controls princes and kings. That today, I stand in the acknowledgement that this God was the very God who allowed the Pharaoh to lead, who allowed that Pharaoh to lead, who would one day begin to throw babies into the Nile. That's hard to take. And yet we know this, that God led that place and that people out. They were all steps leading to a greater revelation. A greater revelation. 1 Peter chapter 1. Peter writes in verse 10, as to this salvation, the prophets who prophesied of the grace that would come to you made careful searches and inquiries, seeking to know what person or time the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating as he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you in these things, which now have been announced to you through those who preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus. That today, however upside down and backward society might seem, not the assumption that God has left us, but what? The assertion and the anticipation that God is evermore with us. And while I don't always understand the circumstances, here's what I do understand. This incredible God of grace and mercy is driving towards his greater glory. Here's what I pray for. Greater patience as my heart is seated in preparation. God, am I patient to wait for you even when I don't understand? Even when I have unfulfilled longings and hopes, even when it seems that things are not as they should. Have you ever contemplated this? If you are sitting here today with unanswered prayers, today God has not answered your prayer because he has something better for you. Have you thought today about what it means to walk before a God who hasn't abandoned you because he hasn't answered your prayer, but he's patiently waiting because he has something better for you in mind? It's like the friend of mine who spoke and longed for later in age. Not married yet, but wanting relationship. And perhaps looking, wanting, and chasing women he thought were the one. And questioning God, why? Why? Why not yet? Why not her? Why not now? Here was the answer. Because you haven't met the one waiting yet. What's hardest is when you haven't met the one waiting yet, is when God says, hey, here's why. Because I am your fulfillment of relationship. Because I want you to be fulfilled by me. Those aren't always easy words. But I have to come before a God whom, when I hit that Y in the road, I know this, whether he leads me to Hawaii and surfing ministry or sucking septic, hey, God wants his best for me. God has not abandoned me. But today, God is working for a greater glory, both in me and the society around me. I may not just have seen it yet. Those moments when I become impatient are when I get ahead of God. But I love how, as Sass was sharing today, as God begins to reveal things in our lives, the question remains, what do I do with it now? As God reveals an anger, an impatience, a hurt, I'm being reminded daily that as God brings things and boils them to the surface and allows the circumstances around me to reveal not only him, but me and who I am and who I've become, that today a gracious God is walking with me, who is able to overcome. It says this in Romans in chapter 8 and verse 25. It says, for in this hope we were saved, but hope, the object of which is seen, is not hope. For how can one hope for what he already sees? But if we hope for what is still unseen, by us, we wait for it with patience and composure. Isn't that great? We wait for it with patience and composure. Today, as God begins to reveal brokenness, as you see circumstances around you today that seem to have more hurt than healing, as you look back at the past and what was, today, this God of grace stands with you to not only look at what was, but now turn our gaze to what is and is to come. To anticipate that he's the God who does not desire more dedication, more commitment, but transformation. That today, he can take those circumstances and use them for his good. That there he can heal, that he can mend, he can mold, he can shape. And what seems hopeless is so hope-filled when you know that God is a part of him. Today, God is at work. Today, we prepare our hearts every morning, waking up with that reminder, today might be the day. Today might be the day. Anticipating God's arrival, God's presence, but with seeds of patience. Because while I may not see it now, he's there. He's working. He's driving. We don't know how much farther we need to go. But he told his disciples, listen, times and tribulations are coming. Difficulties. And yet I have overcome the world. I've overcome it. I'm in it and I'm over it. And so today, I can put before you this, that as the Lord has been just reminding me this week, as just turning our hearts to that, what it means to have hearts prepared, anticipating the Lord's return, the need for peace and patience amidst all circumstances. And so I can only put before you what God has been putting on my heart, and that is this, that today as hurts are revealed, do we stand before a God who's in the midst, that God of grace who knows more and greater, who, when I stand before God today and my hands seem full of unanswered prayers, I stand before a God who's waiting for a better answer than the one I'm even asking for. I stand before a God in broken circumstances, broken relationships, and a broken world, and know that, hey, without God, that's where it's going. And yet in the midst of that, God's playing chess while we're all playing checkers. Have you heard that sentence before? He is making the appropriate moves so that at the right time, the right place, the right location, He's there. He's there. And everything is set for His Son's return. I don't see it in my limited view of this world, of this moment, of this age. I see hurt. I see hardship. I see the abandonment. I see prayers for families with young children who seem lost and without. And yet I'm learning this, to take off the blinders, and to see a God above it all who knows best. Here's what He's saying to me. Just be patient. Just be patient. I've got this. And I've got you in the midst of it. John 16:33, these things I've spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. The words before that, hey, an hour is coming and has already come for you to be scattered. Hey, but in the midst of it, however dire it seems, however hopeless, remember, hope's never been closer than it is right now because I'm there.